Possessiveness, if you must. I own it. It's mine. I purchased it. It belongs to me. But your Creator and your Savior, He must be all of ours, isn't He? But the version that I interpret, the walk that I possess, it's for me, don't you understand? He did this for me. We often find ourselves stumbling, and the blocks that we stumble across are no more than the reliance of insecurity and not finding confinement within Him, our Creator and Savior, for you shall only have one God, one Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And yes, of course, compassionately, I have a sovereign notion of caring in discipline and degree for the wants and needs of society. I, for one, used to have different business. I don't so much at this moment anymore. And the business I had then was about providing sustainment. And I think different, right? There's table talk. You go to the Thanksgiving dinner. You're sitting down. It's the Last Supper. You don't reference religion or politics. But yet, in that same token, in regard, why is it that you should be stealing the food out of my mouth? And why won't you be filling my plate? And what does that actually mean, though, right? I'm not here to sovereignly embrace you. I have nothing to take from you, nor am I going to judge you nor condemn you. Rather, if you will ask and you shall receive, I will do my very best to provide you with everything that I shall have so that you shall have your own. I believe in charity. I give actively. Every day I'm giving in some way, some form. But if the give that I give only leads to a sense of oppression, it leads me astray. It's not my Lord. It's not my God that's saving me. It's my hate. It's my redemption. The ownership that I possess within here. It's my inequity that's leading me astray. Then I shall not continue to give anymore. I've referenced it in multiple facets and seasons. What are you giving to yourself? How about your Savior, your Creator, your spouses, your children? What do you actually have to offer? Treat others the way you want to be treated, eye for an eye. The love that you have for them will be the love that you are capable of receiving and being receptive to. Well, it sounds so elementary, though, doesn't it? I don't need to write this down. I don't need to really think about it, scratch the head and grab the chin. This is about love, is it not? We're talking about apples. Are we talking about fruits of labor? Are we growing within a garden? Where is my yield? And what type of percentages? Don't let any obstructions in the sense of view in logic, in theory, in reason, or social assertion, define who you are in any way, shape, or form. For He still lives and reigns within you, but only if you possess the ability, the competence to be capable of carrying Him with you in every way, shape, and form. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And He wants you to have an abundance. It's a reminder that He provides us with everything that we need and that we shall seek. Seek and ye shall find. Well, who are you? What are you looking for? Where did you come from? Well, these are all answers that lead back to the reason that my heart beats and the reason that I have breath within my lungs. I'm breathing. I'm alive. I'm receptive. I'm taking it in. Oh, very good. The denial of His presence alone is more than I could ever fathom. I do not want to walk in shame, nor should I be bloody ridden to hell. Mm-mm, the shadow of death is not for me, for I seek to be redeemed righteously so. He is risen indeed. So we cannot think about only ourselves, but we must think about other individuals within that mindset. Does it need to be oppression? I don't think so. Does it need to be the demeanor in life? You stop what you have going on in life. God is no more than an enactment. And now you worry about the ones that cannot tie their shoes? Hallelujah. That is you acknowledging their want and need. That's as far as it needs to go. You can't be, nor shall you try to be, God on this earth. When you see somebody, they're stumbling, they're falling, they become a slave to Scripture or a slave to life itself. They're not capable of embracing the forgiveness, the life, the redemption that they've been given. It's not your talent nor your ability, the sense of notoriety of what you've been given. Oh, no. It's no more than the acknowledgement that you see God is still alive and He is working within your fellow brothers and sisters. So don't become possessive in the mindset that there's one that's above the other, that when I'm in equity, I'm further away from God and I see you, you're at prosperity, you're closer to seated at the right hand. That shall not be true. For He exists within each and every one of us, regardless of the season, the venture, or the journey, mission, if you would, the actual moment we are at life, He still lives and reigns within us. Whether there's acceptance or denial, it makes no difference. Life is not up for discussion. neither is heaven or hell. And the practicality behind it? Well, you shall live, or you shall die. But whose decision is that? No more than your own. You must make the right decision. But it comes down to you. Creature cannot deny or accept you. And to be 100% honest, to take it out of that mindset of oppression of society, expectations of obligation, forgive me, your creator, he does not judge you, and he does not tell you what's right or what's wrong for you. You are given the opportunity every day to build a world that you believe in, and he can be right there with you, providing you the fulfillment, the bountiful harvest, the sustainment, putting bread, fish, and water and wine on the table. Well, he is the one that can fulfill you in every mindset, in every way, shape, and form. So don't deny his presence. You shall not. And don't condemn with the eye that you see, that I might see naked. It might be stripped of iniquity, or the guilt of possession within the conscience realm of deception only allows you to see the deceptiveness of others, because I don't like who I am. By the way, if you don't mind, who are you? Who are you? Philippians 2:5, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Jesus Christ. Thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. So whatever you possess in theory and reason, and the competence of discipline degree as you're capable of walking down the road, if you would, you're grabbing the lunch pail, you're lacing up the boots, you're walking out the door, whatever substance, walk of discipline of degree you find to be relevant, your theory and reason does not need to be in compliance of creature, but rather you were reminded that Christ takes you there. Who is the ultimate teacher, ultimate architect, or the shepherd? Oh, you already know the answer. Very good. Salvation, incarnation, redemption. Through his blood, yes indeed, he is risen. Very good, your Savior. Well, there's only one. He's so beloved the world, Lord, forgive me. And if that shall be true, you shall possess it. Hold it near and dear to your heart. Don't let it go. For I think it's important that we are capable of moving above and beyond. How do you know you're forgiven, by the way? I can only tell if I'm forgiven by the life that I lead. That is the score, the measure. It doesn't require consent nor acknowledgement from creature. It's the walk that I possess. I seen somebody today, and they were blessed. How did you know that they were blessed? Because I seen the way that they were leading their life. They were blessed. They were forgiven. They were redeemed. They weren't walking around scorned. They didn't have a nail in their foot, a thorn in their side. They weren't bitter and bitten. I listened to the way that they responded. They were outright blessed. Lord, forgive me. And who was the one that blessed them? Well, no more than your Savior. Well, your Creator, Redeemer. You better hold it near and dear to your heart. My Lord God. And you shall feel that way. My Lord God. You know why? Because everybody, every heart, soul, and mind in this world, they have the opportunity of having their own my Lord God. And if your relationship with him isn't personal, it's not my problem. And it shall not be. Well, I think it's yours. So if I'm not allowed to make any decisions on anybody, or what was it that you said? Let me think about it for a second. I shall be loved the way that I love others. Instead of looking at the way I'm loving them, let me look at the way they're loving me, and let me see if I can respond. Let me see if I can match that. Let me see if I can go above and beyond. So immediately I must go to Christ, and I must go to my Creator, to God. How did they love me? By eternal life, and providing me with everything. Everything that's on this earth is for me, for within my use, to have laboring of deeds and bountiful harvest and a garden of life so that I continue to grow within the sense of pro-life. I wish to create. I wish to wed. I wish to love, because God is love, not to hate. I'm not sure that I shall ever, and this is the mindset, the mentality, don't let it condemn you. I'm not sure that I am worthy or that I should ever be capable of holding up to that standard. My goodness, I could not and I shall not. I'm no more than a humble servant. Please come. Come into my heart, soul, and mind. Receive me. Redeem me. Don't forget about me, your humble servant. I shall not match with you in any way, shape, or form. But that comparison notion, it shouldn't dog you down. It shouldn't weigh you down. It shouldn't oppress you. I can't compete with the shepherd. I can't compete with my creator. You should have met my creator. You know, I got a shepherd. He's guiding me every day. I am saved. I am redeemed. I am blessed. I am forgiven. How do you know that you're forgiven? Because you walk within that light. How do you know you're condemned? Because you walk within that darkness. So your forgiveness or your darkness comes down to the way that you walk. It's the way you present yourself, not to others, to yourself and to the world abroad. So we do it for others. And think about this. Who bears witness to your inequity? It's about what happens when you think nobody's even looking, for he hears and sees all. He bears witness to your inequity. Guess what he also bears witness to? Your love, your blessings, you proclaiming the faith, being redeemed, being saved in every way, shape, or form. For it can't be held back from you. The inheritance that he has for you to take you to eternity, to take you to heaven, there is no creature that shall prevent that from happening, nor shall they prevent it from being an enactment within your life. And I apologize a little bit more often each and every day. Can I get a hallelujah? Because he is risen indeed, and you will see him walking right within me. Lord, forgive me. Colossians 3:24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. Well, I'm no more than a humble servant, and of course I serve him. If it weren't for him, I shall not even exist. I wouldn't even be alive. So it goes back to where it started. And in some cases, we return to dust. Because that's where it all started. And we were reminded of that. What is our true value and our true worth? Well, to him we are precious gold. We are a people. We are a race of his own. We are his belonging in thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. For it is my Lord, my God, that makes a difference in my life. And the God that you've chosen, by the way. It might only be in theory and reason. It might not actually have that walk of competence. The Lord that you've chosen. Well, if it isn't relevant to you, make sure that it isn't a burden to me. Is that okay? Don't make it a burden to me. Make sure it's relevant to you and the life that you lead and the walk that you possess. I choose to walk in the light. I choose to bear witness to my own inequities. And I don't care about somebody else referencing whether it's right or whether it's wrong. They're not God. I shall not give them that power. I'm not going to put that possession within their hands. I put it within God's hands. Here. Very good. Any burden that I shall have, any strife, any injustice in any way, shape, or form, I put it within his hands. And best of yet, my love, my witnessing, excuse me, the truth of the way that I'm alive. Oh, he is my witness. He is the reason that I shine daily. Forgive me. 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil. Arch! He said, I hit the air brake. I'm going to hit the stop sign right on the dash real quick. Lock it on up. I'm pulling over. Something must be wrong here. Hold on one second. Patiently enduring evil, able to teach, but kind to everyone. Here comes that excuse. Here comes God on earth. Who is the teacher? Who is the architect? Who is the shepherd? Who's the one that's guiding? Well, we can't be God, and we can't be Christ. Now, if you want, I mean, I can go down to Home Depot. I can buy some 4x4 posts. We can get some real thick penny gauge nails. We can see if we can put some stakes through the hands, cross the feet, outright put a few in there, hang you up on a cross, see if you can die for remission of my sins. Is that what you wanted? Think about what I'm saying. How many of us are trying to be Christ within this world? You ain't allowed to be saved. You're not allowed to be redeemed. In fact, I'm a teacher. You shall not be. You cannot be Christ. He was the only teacher. None of us are adequate teachers. We will never, never be capable of getting up to the point where he was. So the confinement in creature can be the inequity, but patiently enduring evil? Do you know why patiently? Because he wins every day. Every day. It's like going to the casino and you got house money in your pocket. I'm going to the high roller room. I'm playing with eternity here. It's infinite. I'm throwing hundreds in at a time. Boom, boom, boom. Max bet. Where are you going? All right. Who are you? Very good. Think about what I'm saying. So we patiently endure the evil with a hallelujah because we know gracefully, sovereignly that he is still working within us. It's intertwined within our DNA. Every mechanism of thought and belief that we desire with want and need is no more than a direct relevance of possession of the Holy Trinity and substance being within us. Correcting his opponents with gentleness. Yeah, there we go. You will be corrected with gentleness. Be still, my soul. It doesn't need to be a stern laceration across the back that requires some sense of stitches. Jeez, you're bleeding wide open sovereignly. Are you okay? God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. God may grant them repentance. Uh-oh, now I made a mistake. What happened? Well, I thought repentance was mine. I thought that the moment that I wanted it, that I'd be capable of having it. No, but that's only in thought and theory and reason. Repentance must be given to you, the same as forgiveness. Because of your Creator, you received. You received forgiveness. And now because of God, you received repentance. It'd be easy to say that I choose repentance. I just release it. It's just a verbal command. It's like I'm utilizing AI. I'm utilizing fingers on ears. Repentance. I throw a word choice out there and immediately, poof, here comes the floodgates open and they wash away all my sins and my inequities. Very good. Now you're clean. You're free to go. But you notice that the immoral mindset of eternity, morality comes into play. Who are you? What was you doing? And where did you come from? Well, he sees all and he knows all. So God has to grant you repentance. It's not given. How many aspects in this world do you believe that they're taken? I take it when I want it. It's repentance. It's power. It's justification. It's notoriety. It is true power and knowledge. It's mine. Hold on. For my Lord and God. Why? Because it's his, and I hold way, way deep to him, near and dear to my heart. Get over here! I can't afford to lose my Savior, my Creator, my Redeemer. Very good. So he shall grant you repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. And knowledge is no more than the truth. I can only change self. Somebody said there's like job postings that are up on the job board. I don't know about creating an ad this morning. Find someone that can change the Creator, and I'll pay you to breathe. It's quite a few breaths every moment. I think different. Jeez, that's a lot, right? Be receptive to it. Take it in. Remember, repentance is not given, nor is it taken. Is that true? Well, you must receive it. And if you must receive it, you must give it. Oh my goodness, we're going back to him, washing, cleansing of the heart and the soul and the mind. Keep me pure in thought, word, and deed. And they may not come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So you have options, you have choices, and it's the reference. I'm carrying out thy Father's work. I'm continuing to spread the blessing, to spread the good news. Go, and what shall I do? Very good. Remember me. Your humble servant. Excuse me, remember me, your humble servant. But scorned, bittered, and bitten, looking down and frowned upon, for he has become a possession within me. Well, that thorn on the side is only valuable if I can get you to experience it. Whew! There's pleasure within evil. Very good. Because God still allows you to experience the repentance, because he still allows you to go from A to Z. In this world that we live in today, we divertedly are our objective to be in experiencing inequity. In fact, if you reference the biblical notion, the Bible would remind you the mindset and mentality is we create a world to where we're at offense to one another and we forget all about eternity and we create limitations and restrictions to where these offenses and what meaning they actually have. We forget about life. We forget about death. Why shall you be alive then? I don't understand. Areas for concern would mean no more than areas for improvement, a confession, repentance, forgiveness. Yes, I have been forgiven and redeemed. It takes order, shape, and notoriety. I possess it. I am capable and I am able. But the moment that everything you have, your cares, your thoughts, the love that you endure, and remember God is love, it returns into that possession to where you need to experience everything else that the world wants you to experience. And that's all that there is for notoriety. Well, that's your inequity. That shall be your problem, and you shall be the one that'll be suffering within that. I do not seek to be defined. Do you know why? Because my Creator himself, including the shepherd, the reason why I am forgiven, they don't look to define me. I'm not looking for acceptance or denial for the same reason, for they do not accept me or deny me. But do you know what? The outright honest truth, each and every day, I can wake up, I can breathe, I can be alive. The breath that is entering my lungs, I can be thankful for the gifts that I've been given, for the garden that I'm growing, and for the life that I'm receiving. I want you to think about this. You have life, each and every one of you. You have life, but if you aren't capable of receiving that gift of life, of love, of the inheritance, the insurance of investment of eternity, then you shall never find sustainment. You have to be capable and able within his mindset and his jurisdiction to be capable of receiving that blessing. And how do you know that you've received it? Well, you know it when you see it, when you feel it, when you experience it, by the way that you talk, by the way that you walk, and by the theory and the reason that you possess. It shall not be and can never be comparison notion or what somebody else finds to be upheaving for me and my house, because my Lord, my God, lives and reigns within me. Lord, forgive me. We seek counsel. You've heard about this. Things aren't going right for me. And life happens. Eliminate blame. There's no excuses. Righteously so. Remember the humble child. Righteously so. Right? We seek counsel. So we seek counsel when things don't happen the way that we want to. And we find it within him. The power of prayer is live, folks. I mean, it works. It's relevant. And it goes way more aspects than you could ever imagine. Every heart, soul, and mind, regardless of age. And I get it. Well, the souls of purgatory, they might not be heard if they do not pray. Oh, listen to what I said. The souls of purgatory, they might not be heard if they choose not to pray. But all you have to do is give it to him. Very, very good. Another lesson, another talk, another day. Lord, forgive me. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Whoa, who am I resisting? Remember my Lord, my Savior, that firm in your faith, stand on that solid foundation, regardless of what storms you're weathering, regardless of what weeds and what rocks get into your garden, regardless of the turns, the setbacks, the failures, seek counsel and seek counsel within him. Remember, he is the light, the way, the truth, the life. Remind us to stand firm-footed with him, that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. There's a reason for the season. Have you heard that before? There's a reason for the season. Doubt is no more than a sense of lacking confession. But confession is only relevant when there is repentance and forgiveness, and it becomes practical within the laboring and the walks of deeds. Remember, you cannot nor shall you hang yourself on your own cross. Morally crucified each and every day, I'm outright condemned. I made a mistake. But you shall be forgiven. Because you possess the ability to forgive. And the repentance, they have to be given to you. Christ, you are forgiven. Here, and it's almost like communion. The body, the blood. Very good. You receive it. You receive it. It fixes you. It fulfills you. Think about what I'm saying. So you receive it. You walk within it. It gives you competence. That light shines directly upon you. And it moves within you. Whew. Did you feel that? That was my Savior and my Redeemer. He's happy that I'm alive. I chose to be no more than a humble servant. He knows my dearest wants and needs that I hold near and dear to my heart. And I'm hoping that he finds fulfillment within them, for I find sustainment within him. And he provides for me, and I provide for him. Lord, forgive me. Psalms 97:3, fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. I don't have anything to worry about. It sounds like your problem. It probably is your problem. It can't be mine, and it shall not be. But it is his. Does it come with a deed? How much taxes do you owe on it? How long is it going to take you to get it paid off? Well, those are relevant questions. It's the investment of the soul. Shall you seek? Mm-hmm. I think I got a good interest rate, by the way. Forgive me. I apologize. I mean, I think different. But I mean, I'm outright invested in him, because it pays off to be invested in him. It pays off. Psalms 106:11, and the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Protection. The shield, the armor of God. I've heard about that before. You are saved, you are redeemed because of Christ. You don't have anything to worry about. Lord, forgive me. This talk shall be continued to be followed up. If you have any questions, any topics for concern, or while you were listening, you took notes, and it took you to somewhere that it directly relates to you, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach out to me through text. You can reach out to me phone. You can call. You can email me. You can follow me on social media. I have Facebook, Twitter. I have Instagram, and I also have the Buzzsprout site. So be sure to follow so that you have daily updates, and don't be afraid to ask any questions that you find to be relevant. We can explore them together. So thank you for listening to another episode of Life or Death Ministries, to where he surely finds his way within your heart, soul, and mind, leading you with a sense of grace, of redemption, and the ability and competence to be forgiven, to be redeemed. I ask that you continue to allow him to enter to your heart, soul, and mind, and not be defined by him, but rather grow within him as he is the owner of the garden. Let's close in prayer. Our graciously Heavenly Father, as we so often stumble each and every day and we lose insight of thought and theory and reason as to why you are my Lord, my God, and why I am alive and why I shall be doing what I'm doing. Let me not question and riddle your existence or wonder why things are the way that they are, but rather let me abrasively acknowledge what you want from me. Let me abrasively acknowledge the love that you have for me and the compassion. For this life is made up of no more than multiple favors, shapes, and tones of love. And it is because of you that I am capable of experiencing this blessing, this heaven, this righteousness, continuing to be humble, the prosperity that you have promised us of the inheritance of eternity of heaven. I ask that you wash and cleanse my heart, soul, and mind, and thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, body, and spirit. Let me be reminded that you are with me and that I shall never be alone. With knowledge, with love, with grace and acceptance, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, continue to allow me to spread the good word and the grace of the love and knowledge that you have. And thank you for listening. Have a very, very good day.